From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, April 12th, 2021. Todd.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm coming on the radio. I'm reading my emails here.
Now, let's just talk like we're on the phone. What are you doing?
Okay.
What's up?
He's coming on the radio, Stephen.
Had a big weekend, you know?
Did you?
Mowed the grass a couple times.
Did you do any bowling?
Yeah, did you bowl at all?
No, I didn't bowl.
I'm just going to ask you nicely, and it won't be all the time, but when it calls for it, can we refer to you as the ginger assassin?
You could. I mean, I'm not a true ginger, but I'll be that.
But he is an assassin, though.
But like on this show, would you be?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, let's listen to this highlight and tell people why you should be the ginger assassin.
7-10. Come on, man.
Again, the look back. So
that's what I mean. I don't know why I re-rack.
Right through the face, leaving the 7-10. The 7-10 only been made on television 3 times in the history of professional bowling. On TV.
Come on, kid, do it.
Oh, he did it!
He got the 7-10, Randy!
Oh,
he did it! Woo-hoo-hoo! My goodness, the ginger assassin just dropped the 7-10! You bet, kid! You bet! Oh, man! Give me some oxygen and water to spare the game. Brought to you by Guaranteed Rate. If you believe it, you can do it. Guaranteed Rate. Believe you will. I believe the ginger assassin can drop the 7-10. Oh, man.
Randy was speechless.
Hey, and let's give some respect on the ginger assassin. I guess his name is Anthony Neuer.
Oh. I don't like that as much as ginger assassin. Be honest
I
with
know.
You.
But I like fantastic. That. Rob Stone is fun. He's the guy, I remember, like, I don't know how many years ago it was. He was the one who I think he coined the term, or I don't know where, the ham bone for 4 strikes in a row on bowling. He'd go nuts because everyone knows a turkey is 3 in a row.
Right.
It's pretty rare to get 4, and he started yelling ham bone. It was funny.
Randy.
What about Randy, though?
Like
Randy's, Randy's the odd guy out here. We need to talk more about him.
We got to figure out who Randy is. That's right.
Right. Let's talk about the Masters. Did you hear the Japanese call?
I was at my mom's house. I saw it come up on the screen, but we were eating at the time, so I didn't hear it.
Like
I
hear
know
it?
It was Tommy Nakajima. Yeah, give me that one.
Let's hear it.
Absolutely.
Matsuyama Hideki, Masters を勝ちました。ついに日本人がグリーンジャケットに袖を通します。日本人が招待を受けた85年ついに世界の頂点に松山は立ってくれました。
And I was telling people earlier, Todd, that I read Wright Thompson's excellent feature on Matsuyama about the burden of of being him in Japan and not winning a major and having all these expectations and what it meant to Japan, what it meant to him, and how much pressure he has from the media there and just from a golf crazed
country. Oh yeah, we know what it's like in baseball when they're like Nori Aoki's kind of just a guy and there's several people over here covering him every day even when he doesn't play. And I would be in the Royals clubhouse and there'd be two guys over there talking to him about, hey, what was it like to watch the game on the bench? I mean, so they go crazy for their athletes. And this is really something for him. Quick story on Tommy Nakajima. One of my best friends from college, Rob Travis, his little brother, Matt Travis, came over from when he was in high school to play golf one time with us. And we were with a bunch of people playing golf. And this guy who was with us didn't understand his name was Matt. And he called him Tommy all day long. So then we still call him Tommy Nakajima. So there you go. Great Japanese golfer. Tommy Nakajima has been in my heart for years as Matt. So that's the way that works. But Tommy Nakajima was a really good golfer and never won a major. So this was the first major for a Japanese golfer. And that's a monstrous deal for Matsuyama. And it's going to be even crazier for him now, probably. I mean, he'll just go up in stature over there. And it's, you know, they've had some really good golfers. We've seen many on the tour. KJ Choi was a Korean golfer. He was always good. He never won one, right? There was a lot of that. And women's golf is monstrous in Korea. But the Japanese people love their athletes, and especially with the ones who are worldwide and come to America and do things. So this is monstrous deal for him. And he was good enough is what he was. I mean, they were all kind of wilting in the pressure at the end. But all he needed to do was get a five on the last hole. And that's what he got. And he missed a short putt for par. You know, the bad one was Xander Schauffele. He, if you're looking, and this is a bigger picture.
The door was open, and then he closed it.
He closed it. Ryder Cup, this is why America doesn't win the Ryder Cup. Because guys like Xander Schauffele, who are firmly on the team, and, you know, they're good golfers, and they get enough points to be on that thing. And the second it gets to be important, like the first five holes of the Masters, he had two bogeys and a double, and then, all right, now the pressure's off. He's not even on the leaderboard anymore. And then he rips off a whole bunch of birdies. Matsuyama hits the ball in the water on 16 when he's playing the 15th hole, and the whole thing's just sitting there for him. And nobody hits the ball in the water on 16. And he does that. And so, you know, that was just disappointing from the big picture America Ryder Cup side that ends up what happening with Xander Schauffele. But he was good, too. It was a fine tournament. It wasn't great drama down the stretch, but it's always good to see it. And I felt good for Matsuyama and the Japanese people who love their athletes for sure.
Like the closest thing to drama for me was the bunker shot that he had on 18 when he ended up in the sand. Because you felt like that could have been the type of thing where you hit a bad shot out of the sand.
He could have flubbed it or something, yeah. But they're so good in the sand. Yeah. It's pretty rare to see those guys blow those shots, you know.
Yeah, well, the announcers I was listening to.
He blew it up by hitting it over the ground on 15.
Yeah, that's true.
But someone's got to be there to take it. That's the problem. Xander Schauffele was there, but he would not take it. They said, take this. And he got a Lebo score on a par three.
Nah, I'm good.
Nah. I'm good. You know what? These guys are good. Xander Schauffele is a really good golfer. He's probably already won $10 million in his life or something. You know, I don't know if it means as much to win to all of these guys as it should. And I'm not talking specifically about him. I'm talking in general. You're not going to find guys who don't care about anything other than crushing you. You know, the old Tiger Woods kind of way with some of these guys because, you know, they're all super comfortable. They've made so much money.
I
absolutely do buy it with some of them. Not with
some
all of them,
maybe, but you, some of them. You just talked about how Schauffele folded under the pressure. You can't fold under the pressure and then also not care enough at the same time.
Well, maybe you don't care enough to get through the pressure. I don't know. It didn't seem like that big of a deal to him when they were interviewing afterwards. You know, now maybe he's just hiding his emotions really well or whatever. Maybe he's going to go, you know, tear up the locker room that he did that. But I just see a lot of these guys who are young golfers who they've got it so good in their lives.
Well, I wonder for the young golfers.
They're not as driven as I want them to be.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder for young golfers, too, if they don't understand, you might not get this close to winning this thing again. You know,
exactly, man. You're sitting right there. You're on the 16th. The other guy's falling apart. You're two back. You've got a chance, and then you hit it in the water.
I just think that, like, when we talk about the money part of it, I mean, you know, Tiger Woods was richer than all these guys combined, and he still wouldn't stop going.
Well, no, that's because he was insanely driven. Those guys aren't out there.
Yeah, the money wasn't this way, though. There. When Tiger started, the money wasn't like it is now.
I just think that
Tiger made the money.
Yeah,
Tiger
created that environment.
To get to that level, you have to work really, 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 really hard.
He's not saying they're not working hard. He's just saying the killer instinct isn't there.
Isn't there for all of them. And it wasn't there for all of them to start with. I mean, you know, that's why Patrick Mahomes is insane.
Yeah, we talk about the quarterbacks all the time.
Tiger Woods is insane. You know, some of these guys, I just don't think a big group of American golfers are as insane about winning as they should be.
But okay, to your point, like who else down the stretch that were competing yesterday had the tremendous amount of pressure that Matsuyama had? And again, go and read the
nobody had it like him, I don't think.
Like to win, and he's had a chance to win a major, and he failed down the stretch. And I mean, like the tremendous amount of pressure. And for him, I mean, they're all driven.
And
right?
Honestly, he didn't play about all that great yesterday. You know, he played. You know, he was over par yesterday,
right?
And luckily for him, that he didn't handle the pressure super great, but he handled it just a little bit better than everybody else.
But nobody's ever going to mention that. I mean, he's the master champion. That's all that matters now, right?
Exactly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And that's what, you know, I was watching some of the stuff before, like Mark O'Meara won in 1998, and they always do this thing on Sunday. They kind of do an old Masters or talk to someone. And Mark O'Meara was a really good professional golfer, okay? But he was 41 years old when he won it. And they told the story of the first time he got to play there because he had won the U.S. Amateur. So he was, 20 years old or something. And he shot 80-80, I think he said. And on the 11th hole, he hit a ball, and he went up, and that's the one with the water down on the left. And he went up, and there was a scoring guy there, and he said, "Sir, did you see my ball?" He goes, "Yeah, it's not in the lake. It went through the scoreboard. It went through a name on the scoreboard." So that was like his first experience. And when he left, his dad was with him, and he said, "Are you disappointed?" He says, "No, I'm not disappointed. Hopefully I'll be back here someday. But at least I'll get to say I got to play in the Masters." And then after you win it, you have something to do in the second weekend of April for the rest of your life, because you always get to, it's the one that you always get to go back to. They have not taken the rule off that you don't get to go back there and play. You see a lot of these old guys down there playing, and you're a Masters champion. It really means something. So that is off the plate for Matsuyama now. He is a hero forever, because some of these guys are just some regular dudes, right, who aren't the greatest golfers in the world, but they took advantage and they won some of these things. So it means a lot to them. And I'm happy for Matsuyama that he won, because there is a tremendous amount of pressure on him, more than many of these people who were out there playing, that's for sure.
Lebo, what did you think of the dramatic victory by the Kansas City Royals over the White Sox?
Well, I was feeling bad for you when Jesse Hahn was even in the game, so yeah. I was thinking about you. Is that bad?
I want you to.
We talked a lot last week, and no one understands exactly what was going on with Jesse Hahn, but someone had to throw. They threw everybody, but I'm more. Let's be happy about the fact that they won, and Carlos Santana hit the home run. That was huge, and Kyle Zimmer was great, man. He was really good. That was important to see. Being a closer or a reliever in extra innings now is way harder than it ever was before. It's like you're coming in after someone blew it and gave up a double, and you have to come in there and be a true fireman. And so that was really nice from the win, because the Royals have been, it's been so staggered and not. There's no rhythm to what they've done so far because of the off days, and then add in a rain out. So they barely played this last week, and now they're going to play 11 straight days starting yesterday, and the weather looks good. So it looks like they're going to have to maybe get some more defined roles and maybe have some of these starting pitchers hopefully get a little deeper into the games for them to try to figure out, what they want to do. Because I'm with you on this Matheny thing, but as you guys were talking earlier, I went back and was looking at some of the, 2013 games when the Royals weren't quite HDH yet because Wade Davis was starting games. There's some real bumps in the road with Kelvin Herrera and Greg Holland and, Aaron Crow and Bruce Chen and Tim Collins. They're just a bunch of names. I think we all look back and
you said Bruce Chen, by the way.
Day, I did say Bruce Chen. Every single day we thought, it was HDH. Well, it wasn't. It's baseball. Some weird things have to happen sometimes. And I think if the starting pitching is good enough, and this bullpen kind of gets some rhythm to him, maybe we'll see some of those defined roles. So I'm not going to, poo-poo Mike Matheny today. They found a way to pitch and hit and get a win against a really good team that they don't do well against. A team they beat one time last year.
I like the way he's handled the bullpen.
We need to watch it as it goes.
I like the way he's handled the bullpen, just except for Hahn. That's all. I mean, I liked
his
willingness to think outside the box, use analytics. You use matchups.
The analytics should say something about Jesse Hahn at this point now, right?
Jesse Hahn should say something about Jesse Hahn. Yeah, well, I mean, but let him figure things out in low leverage situations. That's all. I'm not saying to release him.
He probably needs to slide down. You will generally. Here's the tough part. Like I heard Nate talking about Stalmont. You can't go see if you can close the game until you get a chance to close the game, right? They haven't had a chance to do that. Now, they've given Jesse Hahn basically a leveraged situation every time, and it hasn't been great, especially in the last couple. So you work yourself out of those leveraged situations, and you work the other guys into them. But we're watching it happen in real time. These roles aren't defined yet. And we're seeing it kind of go down. And especially when you, like I said, you haven't had many games or many true kind of save situations to see. And what we've seen out of Hahn in the two times wasn't great here this last week, but they haven't played six or seven games in a week yet either. I'm excited to see how they work it all this week. And more importantly, for whatever happens in the bullpen, they need some of these starting pitchers to do a little more than they did. I mean, Mike Minor can't go out there and throw 30 pitches in the second inning. You know, that's not a recipe for anything good for your bullpen, especially when you're in day one of 11 straight days of playing games.
Is tonight their first night game?
Yes.
That's all right. Feels right.
They had a 3 o'clock and a 1 o'clock, and then they were in. Yeah, I think this is the first night game.
All right. Jake says we got to go. Lezak's already banging the drum for his appearance time. So who right now, I'll ask you this again, it's going to change every week, who will lead the Royals in saves this year?
What's the answer you want to bid on? You bid on who?
I bid $11 on Josh Stallmont, so that's who
it's
I'm hoping
Josh
it
Stallmont
is.
Then. How about that?
Yeah, wow. No, I like that.
What an answer.
I don't think that's him. Yeah. I think it's Greg Holland.
I bid $4 on him.
I'm in this for the long haul, though. This is a marathon, not a sprint, and I'm in a dynasty league, so I'm not even talking about this year. Just moving forward overall. I like Stallmont's future. Thank you, Todd Lebo.
You got him in.
That's right.
All right, guys.
He didn't get saves.
You got the 7-10,
good
Randy.
Ratio. Yeah. Come on, Randy. You got the 7-10 split.
You got the 7-10, Randy!
Talk to Gary Lezak after this on WHB.